Okay, let's discuss what we've just heard. Now, again, talk with each other and let's get in depth in terms of whatever you care to share with us on reconciliation. Just a basic question. What will it take?
I would like to touch bases on the taboo subject, which is reparation. From my background in studying and even through my study with theology, I've come to learn that there cannot be a reconciliation without reparation. The word itself, not only it seems to bring hardship to people's minds, but I find that some people are somewhat confused about what does that mean. I find today that people are confused about the word hero, being heroic. They seem to be confused about that because I hear people being heroes who haven't done a thing. I bring that up to mention that reparation is something that we're just going to have to face, because you just cannot take something from someone and say, I'm sorry, expect a word of forgiveness, then go on and live a prosperous life on something that was taken. So reparation just simply means give back what was taken away.
Okay, give me some feedback.
I simply want to ask, Mr. Tate, how would you go about the process of reparation?
There is information that you can find on the website. A lot of activity has been going on for years since I've been in Washington, D.C. You can pull the information up. There are a lot of committees on the floor up at the Capitol building. But what I would do personally, I would, here in Wilmington, because we had this coup d'etat here, I would actually start out with the city officials here. I would have a confrontative-type meeting with them to see their feelings, get their intent on just how they feel about that. And if there is some type of anger about it or don't want to talk about it, I think it's time for confrontation.
Okay. Ms. Harris?
Yeah, I kind of want to put us in another perspective and to realize that Wilmington was not alone. You know, I'm from Wilmington, and Wilmington was not the only place that there was an 1898. And that when we look back historically, I always say learn from the past so that we don't duplicate it. Every city in America, that whatever the ill that manifested in Wilmington is the illness of America. Every city in America where blacks achieved political and economic gains, substantial political and economic gains, there was an 1898. It may not have been as decisive and as encompassing as our 1898, but we look in Atlanta on Sweet Auburn Street, where blacks, your first black millionaire. In 1906, there was a race riot there. Same thing, they burned it down. Look at Rosewood. We look at Tulsa. In Chicago, right after World War I, major race riots. New York in the 30s, race riots. But it was all over, it was over economics and political power. So Wilmington was not the only place that suffered from that. And to realize that in the total perspective, that whatever reconciliation we're able to do here in Wilmington, it's something that must be done in America, because it's a national illness and not just a local illness.
I'd like to comment, Melton McLaurin, if I may, on the whole concept of reparations. I realize that reparations is becoming a hot topic. I heard Johnny Cochran is working on reparations, for example. It depends on what one's talking about with reparations. One of the things I think it's vitally important to do, and I don't know how you do that because it's not something that people wish to understand, but it's to understand that if you are privileged, there is a reason for you being privileged. That doesn't make you a bad person because you're privileged. I am privileged. I'm a white male raised in Southern society of middle and in really the background that I come from, almost upper middle class parents. So I'm privileged in many ways. Well, I was born what I am. I can't help being what I am. I can understand that my position in life is a privileged position. But I think that's a difficult thing for people to do because they don't wish to see that they've gained from just their birth status and their position in society. But we all have that with us. Reparations, though, if we're talking about direct payments, is, in my opinion, a dead issue in American society. The political will is simply not there. It's not going to happen. We can't even get a real engagement on the issue of affirmative action, and have had a huge backlash on that in the last few years. So I think that to talk about confrontation in terms of reparation may be an intellectual exercise, but if there are efforts to carry it out, I would have some really grave fears about how the power structure would react.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Following up on what Mr. Tate said and what Melton said, I don't think that we can have reconciliation in America until there is a realization that racism still exists. And I think you would probably find a dispute along racial lines as to whether it exists, because I've heard many, many white people say that there is no racial problem and that I have never heard a black person say that. And I don't think there can be reconciliation until every white person in America asks himself or herself, what does it mean to be white? And if you have trouble answering that, that may tell you something. There's a wonderful list on the internet somewhere that says things like, one example is being white means that when you're arrested for speeding, you know it's not because of your color. Thank you.
Okay. Pardon me. We're running out of time, and we won't get a chance to ask some questions. But I'd like to get Amber up to give you an invitation to join in the YWCA study circles. Amber?
Thank you, Harvard. This is Amber Milliken. I am the YWCA study circles coordinator, and we have completed two successful study circle rounds that are now acting on their action plans, going out in the community and doing some things to improve race relations. But for those of you who have not had the opportunity to participate, we will start another round in the fall, and we are going to be doing interracial book club over the summer that will continue. And the number at the YWCA where you can contact me for more information about the Study Circles program is 799-6820. Thank you, Harvard.
Thanks, Amber. And I'd like to thank all of our panelists for participating. You've done a fine service here this evening, I believe, and to our studio audience. And those of you in the listening audience, thank you so much for participating in this presentation and discussion. And I'm Harvard Jennings, and you've been listening to a discussion of race relations and reconciliation rooted in the 1898 events. And we hope that you've been entertained and that you've gained some insight and understanding as a result of this.
I want to just look at, say, where do we go from here? Mm-hmm. And I thought of three things. And one was to really expand the study circles. You know, we're sort of preaching to the choir, to expand the study circles to those in economic and political places of power. They need to be involved. These people need to know and learn what we've been learning in the study circle. Two, root out the subtle manifestations of racism, such as racial profiling on the highway, such as the unfair administration of justice in the courts. And then third, to really, really face the facts that what was done in 1898 in Wilmington was just plain wrong. Whenever you take a people and deprive them of their property and chase them out of town, it was just plain wrong. What was done in many other places in America to disenfranchise and disempower black people was just wrong. So we need to face that, recognize it all part of the doer and the doee, and then go forth together as brothers and sisters.
Okay, we've got 1 minute. Anyone else want to make a parting comment?
Yes.
Okay, let's start there and there.
All right, this is Margie Martinez, and I wanted to agree that we do need to extend the circles, but into the children as well. And one of the things that we're planning to do is bring in role models into the school system and to work with small groups of children and help them see their dreams perhaps come true by talking about possibilities for their own lives.
Okay, John, quickly.
The number one reason relationships break apart and do not work is lack of communication. Number one. So three words I would leave would be communicate, communicate, communicate.
Okay, very quickly.
I would like to say there will be reparation because it has been given to other groups of people from different parts of the world, and we as African Americans who are last will be first again to bail out with this.
And once again, thank you everyone for your participation.
I was a slave. I was in Europe. Back in the before the middle.